This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Thaddeus McCotter, my colleague, who writes for American Greatness and Human Events, to help me understand the events of these last days, turning on the President of the United States addressing the nation in front of Independence Hall. I grew up in suburban Philadelphia. Independence Hall was something that we attended in various school years, and I was there when I was 3 years old. I was drafted by my family, chiefly my aunt, to give a bouquet of roses to the Prime Minister of Iran. His name was Mossadegh, and he came to Philadelphia to see the Liberty Bell on his way to Washington. This is the Truman administration. There are photographs of me fumbling with the roses because the thorns frightened me. And ever since then, I've had both a fascination with and a fear of the Liberty Bell and Independence Hall. However, it never occurred to me that Independence Hall would be cast in red light with two members of the military at attention behind the President of the United States making a speech in which I believe he called my party, the Republican Party, fascist. So, Thaddeus, help me understand. Did I overthink this? That casting of red on my Independence Hall? Good evening to you.
Well, John, I don't think you're the one with a failure to think. I think the people who put this on had a failure to understand the nature of the site, which is a birthplace of American liberty. And in short, they turned it into an audition for the next lead character in Hellboy, starring Joe Biden. So when you look at it, I think the best way to explain this is the Democrat Party has now become a captive of its paranoid delusions, and they have defiled, again, the birthplace of American liberty and equality and the Constitution itself. And to me, I think probably in terms of the staging of this, Eric Erickson probably put it best. He goes, it looks like it was put on by Lainey Riefenstahl.
And calling the Republican, saying that the Republican Party is fascist. Now, Joe Biden is a little older than I am, but he certainly had a 20th century education. I know from reading a biography of his father in The New Yorker that his dad was all wrapped up in war manufacturing. They got in trouble because they overpaid their welders, a lot of trouble. But Joe Biden grew up in a family that knew about the war. I believe they lost one of their relatives in it. And so the term fascist, although its origins, we know, 2,000 years ago, the Romans, a bundle of sticks was stronger than one stick. That's the fascisti, originally. In the 20th century, it turned into a way of condemning someone as a savage, as evil, as unacceptable. It's not a negotiating position. And in your essay at American Greatness, you suggest that the president means it. Is that correct, Thaddeus? Have I read this correctly?
Oh, I don't know that I suggested it. I think I flat out said it, that he and his party truly believe this. Again, they are captives of their own paranoid delusions. Remember, I've always said all they know is what they've been told, and they only talk to each other. And so it becomes an incestuous intellectual loop whereby they ascribe and rationalize their own worst behavior and project it upon their victims. And that is what all fascists and all communists and all of the heinous ideologies of the 20th century have done to persecute their fellow human beings. Now, whether they've read history or whether or not, you have to understand that the left today, the American left, is not the same as my father's Democratic Party. I remember going to Congress and being able to talk to people like John Dingell from Michigan, who actually served in World War II. And John and I would have arguments and discussions about how to make the greatest nation on earth even better and how to form a more perfect union. But what always linked us together was the understanding that America was the greatest nation on earth and that we all had a responsibility to continue to try to perfect that union. And it was only a question of over how we did it. The American left now has a belief that everything, you have a post-truth ideology, postmodern ideology, they believe that if the past is now prologue to the oppressor versus the oppressed, that is their formative narrative. So they go back and rewrite history in accordance. So it's not a question of whether you know history or not. They reject history, try to fashion a new narrative to play into the pursuit of power. And it's basically people who believe in objective truth versus a sea of moral relativism and sophistry.
You quote
the former, not the latter.
You quote the president in part in your essay for American Greatness. What we're seeing now is either the beginning or the death knell of an extreme MAGA philosophy. I believe he says MAGA philosophy. It's not just Trump. It's the entire philosophy that underpins the, I'm going to say something. It's like semi-fascism, end quote Joe Biden. That is the language of someone who is driving people away from him. Not the language of a skilled politician gathering the vote for the midterm election. Is this something that you've seen before or heard before in the president to drive people away? Going negative at this time. I mean, he's punching. Why did he do this?
He did it because this is the left. This is what the American left has become. As Andy McCarthy has always said, if the left's lips are moving, they're projecting. They have nothing left but hate. Their entire philosophy, their entire policies all fail when implemented. And yet they double down. And by doubling down, then they accuse and project their sins upon their victims. That is what they have done. That is what they are going to continue to do until they are defeated in the next election. Because the way that a president is supposed to behave is supposed... I would think that the one sentence that we will never hear from this left, an American leftist president's mouth these days is with malice towards none and with charity for all. That's what a president is supposed to say. A president is supposed to understand e pluribus unum, out of many one. We come together in a pluralistic society where everyone is equal under the law, where we all have rights of liberty and equality. Oh, no. How much time did Joe Biden spend about talking about liberty and equality? How much time? How much did he talk about how we have to perfect a perfect union and keep the great American experiment in self-governing continuing for future generations and to inspire the world with what a free people can achieve? No, he lashed out at his enemies just the way the American left is going to continue to do, again, until the American people realize they've had enough and vote them out of office and put sanity back in the federal government, in the local government, in the state government, and recognize the primacy of the human soul in statecraft.
It's a naive of me, but I'll ask it anyway. Does the president believe that you and I are fascists?
I can only go by what he says, but I take that back. We have to listen to what he says, and then we have to look at what they do. And if you look at it, they have been spent the last 8 years of the Obama administration, the 2 years of the Biden administration so far, weaponizing the federal government, the surveillance and police powers against their enemies. They did it with the IRS. They did it with the FBI and DOJ and Russiagate. They did it to General Flynn. They did it with FISAgate. They believe the government is their own personal plaything with which they can gain partisan advantage and persecute their political enemies. And all Biden did was say the quiet part out loud in Independence Hall, which was a tremendous, again, a defiling of a citadel and a bastion and a birthplace of American liberty and equality.
What is to be done? Do we protest? Do we push back? Is there something that we need to do? We have frequent elections. Things come and go. People go to Congress. They leave Congress. The two-party system has worked fine for more than 230 years now. I lose count sometimes. Do we need to do anything and presume that the president's belligerence will just fade away?
The first thing to do is, as Republicans, as normal independents, as normal Americans, you don't take the bait of the hateful left. You don't descend to their level. You speak the truth. You try to persuade your fellow Americans it's the right course of action. And you institute policies that actually work and in many ways speak for themselves by being salubrious for the American people. It is elementary. It is simple. And it is based upon the foundational principles of liberty and equality and the right, God-given rights that are protected and recognized by the U.S. Constitution, our ability to continue to perfect and to improve upon and perpetuate the American experiment of self-government. This does not recall You don't defeat radicalism with radical behavior and radical ideas. What you do is you put sanity in the place of in the place of public policy and let the results speak for themselves.
Thaddeus McCotter, former member of Congress representing Detroit, well, the greater Detroit area. However, right now he's writing for American Greatness and Human Events about the very unusual conduct of the President of the United States in front of Independence. What's that?
If I can, John, there is one more thing that on a personal note that I'd like to do. Tomorrow being Sunday, I will light a candle for Joe Biden after Mass.
Lighting a candle for Joe Biden, a fellow Roman Catholic with Thaddeus, after Mass. Love and prayer are the remedy for almost anything, and I agree with you, Thaddeus. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.